Happy. Hello. Can you hear me? Hello, hello. Resurrect my mic. Hello, hello. Happy Easter, everybody. Jesus is alive. You know, I always imagine days like this, like Christmas and Easter, Jesus messing around with the host of heaven going like, I'm alive? All right, fine. I always think it's funny. You know, a lot of times, you know that this is really for us. It's really for us that we be reminded that he's alive. Amen? And that our lives are the better for it when we remember that he's alive. But I want to read some of your guys' testimonies in two sentences. What is God making new, resurrecting your life? This one's a good one. God is resurrecting. And if you like it, say amen or yeah or cheer, okay? This is your brother or sister in Christ. God is resurrecting the idea of trust in my life. Ooh, this one's interesting, though, because he or she goes on. From my facts to his process. Not sure what that means. From my facts to his process. Yeah, yeah. Jesus has facts. He's resurrecting my marriage. Woo! God is resurrecting my love for him, his people, and myself. That's good. He's making new hope for my future. Amen. Wonder if I wrote that. Here's another one. Oh, restoring my mental health. I'm not laughing at this. My mental health through therapy and friendships. Come on. Man, that's resurrection right there, dude. Okay. God is resurrecting my faith, my spiritual life. I've just been surviving as a dad. How many dads? We're all like, yes, that's me. I've been just surviving as a dad at church, but God is calling me to thrive again. Amen. Oh, I think I know who wrote this. Ooh. God is resurrecting in me or making new my unforgiving heart. As I had difficulties forgiving my wife's parents. Forgiving my wife's parents. Man, I think you're on Good Friday still, buddy. Whoever you, wow, this is dangerous to put down. But God is giving you a new heart, forgiving your in-laws. Yes. Amen to that, right? And we're back to the facts. Facts and process. Amen. Let's pray together, yeah? You know, it's good to give thanks to God, even if we can't recall right away any resurrecting stories in us. It's good to give thanks knowing that God is doing his thing among his people. So, Lord, we acknowledge that. And we welcome your spirit. And we ask you to do something that we can't really do ourselves. You know, the whole nation is celebrating, all the churches in this nation. They call it the Super Bowl of Sundays, Lord. But as you can see, we are in much need as a church or the church for resurrection power. We don't want to play church. We don't want to just celebrate these religious holidays or seasons. We want the power of God. We want the presence of God. We want resurrection power in and through our lives. So I pray that today will not just mark the day that we remember that you rose again, but we will mark this day in the Spirit as the day you resurrected us in you, God, in Jesus' name, amen. Let me read the text for you for today. Scripture says, I, Paul, am a devoted slave of Jesus Christ on assignment. authorized as an apostle to proclaim God's words in Acts. I write this letter to all the Christians in Rome, God's friends. The sacred writings contain preliminary reports by the prophets on God's Son. His descent from David roots him in history. His unique identity as a son of God was shown by the Spirit when Jesus was raised from the dead, setting him apart as the Messiah, our Master. This is the word of the Lord. 2003, you guys know, I think it was March 2003, our nation decided to go to war. It wasn't much of a war, but our president decided to exercise his power and his right to release missiles and bombs and the full might of our military power over to the Middle East. Do you guys remember that? And as I was meditating on scripture for today, I couldn't help but think about that statement that our nation made, that we were going to not only, you know, release bombs and missiles over there, but it was going to cause a shock and awe. Do you guys remember that? And that statement of like, you messed with the wrong country, you know, and we're going to go to war against you, and there will be a shock and awe when you see our might through our military complex. And so our warships went there, our military went there, and we released bombs on this poor nation, and it was devastation. And man, if belief in the fact that we had that power was the goal, we truly achieved it. So nations, there was not one nation around the world that would say, America is not powerful. Every human being in every nation must have recognized that America was a powerful regime. So if America's goal was to threaten the world, bring fear to the world, and make the world believe that it has power to exercise this kind of military might, we've achieved it. But as you guys know, even though the world had faith in our power, the world was left hopeless, even with the exercise of our power. You see, today, we're not just celebrating the fact that God can raise the dead, the exercising of his power. Today, we're celebrating that in exercising his power, he elected or chose or revealed to us who would actually rule and reign forevermore. And that is what brings us hope and not just faith. Come on, somebody. That was good, right? So the world is left without hope. We're in much disarray and despair. And we just saw that in the Middle East with Israel and Palestine. And they too emulated our nation in the shock and awe over to Palestine. But I want to tell you something. Whatever side you're on, you have to realize that, wow, there was a wow. You have so many missiles, so much power. But as we see again, the land itself is laid in despair and hopelessness. Power itself is not the thing we need or we need to celebrate. You see, if it was about the power of God to resurrect, we would have done this with a guy named Lazarus. Do you guys remember Lazarus? Yeah? No? John, it says, now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany. He's a friend of Jesus, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice. He's there now. He's weeping over his friend Lazarus. He gets there. Lazarus is in the tomb. Jesus arrives, and he says, Lazarus, come out. Did you know that Jesus' resurrection was not the first resurrection in the Bible? Have you ever thought about that? When I read the Bible and I see Jesus doing this, I always go, you should have waited. You should have been the first one to rise from the dead. You're the superstar, right? But no, Jesus shows up in Bethany and he raises a guy from the dead. He exercises his God-given power and somebody comes back to life. So if we're going to celebrate resurrection, we should do it commemorating this moment. We should say, hallelujah, there is a God who can resurrect dead things. Right? But why don't we celebrate this? Why are we not in awe of this moment? Why does the resurrection of Jesus eclipse even this miraculous moment? Here's why. In Lazarus' resurrection, there was an overriding of a temporary death. The purpose of Lazarus' resurrection in Jesus Christ, when he released that power, the Son of God, and Lazarus resurrected, it was God saying, I just want all of you to know that resurrection power is in my Son. His resurrection is confirming the identity of the true resurrection. Can I get an amen? That is the purpose of Lazarus' resurrection. It was an overriding of death. There was a suspension of death, the reality of death. It was temporary, but we all know Lazarus eventually died. You see, Lazarus' death and resurrection gives us a lot of faith, a lot of reason for faith. If I was standing there and I saw what happened, I have the faith that Jesus can raise people from the dead. But what is the difference with his and Jesus's? When Jesus rose again, he did not just override, he overcame death. You see, here we were like death. Death was suspended, right? In Jesus, death lost its sting completely, eternally. You see, this is my first Easter service and sermon after my father passed recently. And if I was a person just of faith, I would say, Dad, there is a God. There is somebody in this world that can resurrect you someday. Right? But because of Jesus, I looked at my dad and I can say, you will be resurrected someday. See, there's faith and then there's hope. You see, in Lazarus' resurrection, I know somebody out there has a lot of power. In Jesus' resurrection, I know that power now resides in me, and I will rise again in the final day. That is the Christian hope. We are not the people of resuscitation. Right? Of old creation. Oh, don't die, Lazarus. And the same old thing comes back alive. We are people that says something completely died, but in Jesus, something brand new has come about. And it will last forever. It will last forever. So when we reflect on Lazarus' story, we can be confident and have faith that God can raise the dead. But in Jesus' resurrection, we have hope that we will rise from the dead. 1 Corinthians says, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. before I move on, I just want to say this to all of you that have experienced great loss in this last season, this last year or two, especially with family members. There's a lot of us that lost family members. As Christians, our hope is not that we will see them in heaven someday. Our hope is that they will come back alive in Jesus someday. You see, this is not a redefinition of death so that we can be comforted that they're in some celestial, ethereal space, you know, their soul flying around with God. That's not hope. That's not hope. That's comfort. That's comfort. Hope is death is defeated and you will come back like Jesus came back. I don't know what church you go to. I go to Echo Church. Well, I don't know what church you go to, but the church I go to, we preach in resurrection of Jesus, not a redefining of death. We are not the people of just comfort, guys. Oh, your dad died, your mom died. He's in heaven. No. Scripture says he's asleep, but my hope is not that he's in heaven. Come on, somebody. My hope is in the full resurrection of my dad. Do you believe me? That is hope. Everything else is spiritual comfort. That's right. So there's a lot of good news in this one resurrection. Let me read you some. There's a vindication. In raising Jesus from the dead, there's vindication of Jesus' sacrifice, confirmation of his deity, justification for believers, fulfillment of scripture. There's all these things and more. All these good news in this one resurrection. But I want to tackle just three of them today, just so that we're reminded what this Resurrection Sunday is actually about. And the first one I want to tackle, it's in one of these here, is the validation of Jesus' identity and mission. You see, when God raised Jesus from the dead, he wasn't just saying, poor suffering martyr or missionary, poor guy, I want to save him from the dead. In raising Jesus from the dead, he was saying, this is my chosen son. He's the real deal. And I validate everything he claimed he was to be. So in raising Jesus from the dead, why is it so hopeful? Because everything Jesus did and everything Jesus taught, God is saying a big yes to all of it. All of it. What does that mean? What does that mean, P? When Jesus walked around and touched the outcasts, touched the leopards, hung out with sinners, God is saying in his resurrection, that's my dream. You see, that's the reality someday. When my son makes all things new, this is my dream. This is what it's going to be like. There will be no more outcasts. There will be no more leopards. There will be nobody that's a victim of the predatory economic system of our world where the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. It's not going to be like that. My son's acts, I confirm and validate. It's also validation in his identity, through his identity, of his teaching. Jesus' vision of God. Jesus, the way Jesus portrayed the Father. The way he rebuked the religious for making it hard for people to get close to God. The way he blessed those that recognized they were sinners. He was showing us a vision of the Father. And when God raised Jesus from the dead, he was saying, yes! That's how I see the world. When Jesus ministers to you, when Jesus touches you, when Jesus forgives dirty you and me, that is God, when raising Jesus from the dead, that is God saying, I too believe it this way. It's good news because in validating Jesus' identity, the poor, those who mourn, those that are meek, those that are hungry for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemaker, the outcast, the persecuted, they have hope. I know most of us, we're so far removed from these kind of people that good news of the resurrection is a good idea. But I want you to remember the time you were in dire need of God, or recollect the moment right now, all these people around the world that are suffering, that are in dire need of help. I want you to see that and go, thank God, God resurrected Jesus, because all of them are going to be helped. Many of you are posting about Palestine. Oh, shoot, PB. I know. I'm not going to touch it that much. I'm going to touch it a little bit. Many people, Palestine, free Palestine. I know. And we are against genocide. We are against the bombings. We're against people dying on both sides. We're against all that. But in scripture, in raising of Jesus, we now can be confident that someday there will be no sides to this. That all, especially the oppressed, will be taken care of. That is God's big announcement through validating Jesus as the risen Lord. This is why it's good news. I will say this, and I wasn't going to say this, but I will say Jesus, the announcement of this good news is also the announcement of bad news for those that oppress, for those that are rich on the backs of people. Come on, somebody. This great news is really bad news for some people. There's a theologian, I love his quote, Stanley Auerhouse. He says, the fact that Jesus rose again should scare the hell out of Americans. Because the fact that Jesus rose again means that God thinks Jesus' dream for the world is better than the American dream. It's a very scary. Especially people that live on the Orange County side of this two counties. Just be careful. We're on the Orange County side. Crap. Shoot. Why'd I judge myself? Vindication of Jesus' sacrifice. Number two, why is this such good news? Because in raising Jesus from the dead, God is vindicating the fact that he is the only one that could truly cleanse us from all sin. He's the only one that can purify you and I so that we can be reconciled to God. PB, why is that so important? I know that in our culture, we have a very hard time getting lost, right? Because of GPS systems. And then there's some of you like me, with GPS systems, you still get lost, right? But there's a great assurance when you have a GPS location to things. When you can type in to your car, I need to get to this address. Do you know that you and I just carte blanche trust this machine, this thing that says take a right turn, take a right? And then have you ever arrived somewhere that it tells you to arrive at? There are many times I arrived at places going, I will die here. This is a place that you get murdered. This is a very dangerous looking place. But you know what? This is how crazy it is. I have so much trust in my GPS. That lady that speaks to me in GPS system, that lady, I'm like, you, I believe everything you say. So even though I'm in a very shady looking place, in me, I have complete peace. Because I know exactly where I'm supposed to be. Why is this such a good news? Because in a world where we're wondering where salvation lies, come on. Where is my peace? Where do I get ultimate, true, lasting peace? Where do I get some assurance of security and satisfaction? Come on. Of anything, salvation. Where? We are not left guessing. In the raising of his son, we know the exact location of our salvation. Do you know how assuring that is? Can you imagine your whole life going through life going, I think I am saved. I think I am going to have resurrection life. I think I will be spared this or that. That is not a life of peace.
This is good news, because in raising Jesus from the dead, God is saying, here is the exact location of your salvation. Anybody happy about that? You will be, thank you. You scared me. And she probably felt bad for me. She probably like, no one's saying amen. I'm so used to it. I could see the amen in people's eyes. I've 16 years of trying to get them to say amen. It doesn't work. They go like this. They're like, amen. Or the biggest amen is they go, they cry. That hasn't happened today, though. All right. I will say this before I move on to the last one. I will say the good news that Jesus rose again and God saying he is the exact location of your salvation. This is going to be good news for many of you who will find yourself lost in life. I just want you to know it's going to happen. You know, just live long enough. And I want you to know you're going to hit a wall in this life. And you will spin, you will twirl, you will go into this vortex of doubt, and you will just get lost in life. Life has a way of beating you up. And I just want you to know, when that time comes for you and I, you're gonna thank God that he gave you the exact coordinates of your salvation. You will know where to return. So save the sermon for that time, and you will give me an amen. I know. Last but not least, establishment of Jesus' lordship. And this was my point from the very beginning. The good news of the resurrection is that God established Jesus as the ruler again over the world. Let me say that again. The good news of the resurrection is not just that you and I are saved, or that you and I can now have everlasting life in the resurrection of all things. It's not always only just personal. The reason why this is so good is because the resurrection of Jesus and his rule is not just the rule and the right to rule over you, it's the rule over the cosmic world. It's the restoring of all things under the leadership of Jesus. If you look at every issue in the world today, it's because of bad leadership. I'm leaving the church, bad pastors. I'm leaving the Catholic Church, funky priest. I'm leaving this country, where I hate all the presidents, right? We have no choices. This one's bad, that one's bad, that one's worse, right? You go overseas, there's leadership issues at every level that continue to crush us and say, there's no hope here. The big, awesome good news of the resurrection of Jesus is that God places one leader to rule that's going to rule everything, who is this kind of a person. This kind of a person is now King of Kings. You know, as I was preparing this, I couldn't help but think of the story. And you guys know the story. I've told this before, but you guys know the story of the king, this folklore of this king who had no heir, who had no sons. And so he's like, what am I going to do? I have no sons. I have no one to take over my kingdom. So he devises a plan, and he sets a nationwide or kingdom-wide competition. And he says, all the boys, all the young boys in this kingdom, come to my palace, and I will give you a seed. And with this seed, I want you to take a year to grow it and make it beautiful and return it to me. And the boy that returns this beautiful plant to me, I will choose one of them to become king. And so you know the story. All these boys go back, and everyone's tending to that
to that pot, and these beautiful flowers and, you know, these plants come out, and it's beautiful. But there's this one boy, no matter what he does, he waters it every single day. There's nothing coming out, and he's stressed because he's like, I can't get anything to grow, and the time to return this to the king is coming up. And so he's full of shame. He's embarrassed. I can't even get it to grow even a little bit. So the day comes, and they all show up, and all these boys come and go, look at this, king, and they place it at his throne, and the king's like, wow, what a great plant. What a great flower. What a great... And this boy walks in from the back with his head down and puts an empty pot of just dirt, right? Just dirt, full pot, right at his feet, and then says to the king, I'm so sorry. I tried my best, but I couldn't get anything to grow. And the king celebrates all of a sudden, gets ecstatic and says, yes, I found my heir. I found the next king. And this boy is confused. Oh my God, what's going on? And he says, did you know that when I passed out the seeds, all seeds were dead? They were all dead seeds. None of them should have grown, which means all of you lied. All of you lied. Except this one boy who came here and was honest. And that story touches us because we now know that kingdom has great news. That this kind of boy is going to be king over us someday. Come on, somebody. You see, it's not the powerful boy. Once any of those boys inherit the rule, they will all have the power, come on, the authority to exercise power, but they will not all have the character of that boy. And so the good news for that kingdom is the king, out of his wisdom, chose this boy. You know why the resurrection of Jesus is such good news? Because in Jesus, we see God choosing the right person. The person we can all agree is going to be good when he reigns. Philippians 2 says, when the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave, became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Because of that obedience, God lifted him high and honored him far beyond anyone or anything ever, so that all created beings in heaven and on earth, even those long ago dead and buried, will bow and worship before this Jesus Christ and call out in praise that he is the master of all, to the glorious honor of God the Father. What is this passage saying? It's saying the good news is not in just the power of God to resurrect. The good news is that God made Jesus resurrect, and that he established Jesus as king. So if you remember anything, I want you to remember this. Lazarus, amazing news. Why? Because there was divine intervention. Jesus, good news, because there was divine inauguration. Let's pray. And here comes the challenge for the day. Many of you believe in the resurrection. Many of you believe that he saved you from your sins. Many of you believe in divine
intervention, that you have been rescued from the pit of hell. You have been cleansed by the Lamb of God. But the question today is, do you believe and hope in the divine inauguration? Is Jesus King over your life, not just Savior over your life? Is Jesus the one that died for you, or is he the one that also rose again and now rules over you? I really believe that our joy as Christians is not based in our faith that he rose again. I really believe that. I really believe that our joy in the Lord is when we submit to this resurrecting King. That's when it becomes good news to us, not just amazing news. So right now, some of you need to do this today. I want you to pray right now over yourself and ask God, can you take me now over to the good news? I believe in the amazing news. I believe in the power of God. I mean, God, if you exist, you can do it. But I want to get to the good news. I want Jesus to rule over me. What does that mean for you? What does it mean that Jesus rules over your life? Come, Lord. Lord, here we are today, Resurrection Sunday. We all know you resurrected. We believe that you have the capacity to do this. But today we celebrate that in resurrecting Jesus, you reveal to us who you endorse, the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. Lord, for many of us that are still in the realm of just amazing news, will you draw us now into the reality of the good news? Rule over our hearts and minds. I pray that this will be a significant shift for our church. That our church, more than seeking power, more than seeking results, that we will be a church that seeks to submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. I want that for our church, Lord. We will be people of God. Come, Lord. I bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May Christ, the risen King, reign in your life. Amen. Happy Resurrection Sunday, guys.